everyone, and welcome back to Maya's Reviews, a book podcast and blog where I review all types of novels, and now, hopefully, movies too, but just on the podcast, not on the blog, and I will get into that later. I'm Maya, and thank you for joining me for another book review today. So, as we all know, that's very different. I've decided that I will try to incorporate, because I watch a lot more movies than I watch books now, and because I'd like to add so much more onto my schedule, I've decided that starting in September, I will be reviewing at least one book and at least one movie per month. That's going to be my bare minimum. I'm hoping to do some movie reviews before that, but I talked a while back about how I would be going to a one per month minimum schedule just so I can put out good content for you guys, but not overwork myself too, because I have a life outside of the blog and podcast and it gets stressful. So, but as you guys can probably tell by the new cover, I am hoping to incorporate more of my love for media into the podcast. I'm going to keep the blog the same as it is because I've had Letterboxd for a while and I can review books through writing, but it's so much easier for me to do reviews on the podcast, and I feel like it'll be the best for me to do movie reviews on the podcast rather than both the blog and the podcast. So we're gonna keep the movie aspect just to the podcast for now. Also because I don't want to change everything on the blog. So getting everything up and running to make this tiny little switch just on the podcast was already a lot. So hopefully that's my new schedule. And on to more urgent and more important things. A while back, I talked a little bit about Dee Warner, the missing woman from Michigan. And recently, the case has been moved to the Michigan State Police, which has been what the family has been fighting for a very long time. While I'm not a true crime podcast, I do not want to get into all the details because I don't want to mess it up and it has not been my research. So I highly, highly recommend that you head over to the interview room. They have done an amazing job of researching this case. They've been working with the family and I just want to applaud them for doing an amazing job, and I highly, highly suggest that you go over and take a listen. I will have all resources that I have found in the description below, including the link to the Interview Room podcast on Anchor, the playlist for Dee Warner's case on YouTube, the petition for Dee Warner, the Facebook group for Dee Warner, and any and all links that I could find. So please just go check that out so you can be aware of the situation and show support for the family of Dee Warner. That is all I have for announcements today, but like I said, please, please, please go check out the interview room so you can see for yourself the case and how absolutely frustrating it must be for Dee Warner's family right now. So please go ahead and take a look. And today I will be reviewing Padawan by Kirsten White. A huge thank you to Disney, Lucasfilm Press, and NetGalley for providing me with a copy of this novel in exchange for an honest review. There are some content warnings, but as always, please educate yourself on the content warnings for this novel before reading, as I may have missed some in my review. This novel contains violence, mentions of death, violence against animals, and violence against a planet. Overall, I rated Padawan 5 out of 5 stars. The characters, writing, and setting were all 5 out of 5, the plot was 4.5 out of 5, and the memorability was 4 out of 5 stars. This is the second novel I've read by Kirsten White. As some of you may know, I reviewed Hyde by Kirsten White, which is a horror novel, and it was phenomenal. So if you haven't listened to that episode, go check it out. And though it is a stark difference from Hyde, I absolutely loved Padawan. This is the perfect novel for those wanting to read about Obi-Wan Kenobi's journey of self-discovery on his way to becoming a better Padawan. Padawan was published by Disney Lucasfilm Press on July 26, 2022. It is 416 pages long and is canon Star Wars. Some tags include fiction, young adult, fantasy, sci-fi, LGBTQ, middle grade, Star Wars, and space. The book's description from Goodreads as always. Obi-Wan Kenobi struggles with his place in the Force as a young Padawan in this coming-of-age adventure. Obi-Wan Kenobi really wants to be a good Padawan, the best Padawan even, but that's feeling more and more impossible with his new master, Qui-Gon Jinn. All of Obi-Wan's friends are off training to be real Jedi, getting mission experience while he's still on Coruscant, practicing his forms and sitting in silent contemplation. Ever since Qui-Gon's former master, Dooku, left the Order, it feels like Qui-Gon has been too busy trying to connect with the Force or arguing with the Jedi Council to properly train his Padawan. When Obi-Wan finally convinces Qui-Gon to take him on a mission to a remote planet once explored by an ancient Jedi, his master doesn't show up the morning they are to leave. So, Obi-Wan impulsively takes off by himself. Upon arriving on the mysterious, lush planet, he encounters a group of teenagers with no adult supervision, and who all seem to have some connection to the Force. Free from the constraints of the Order, Obi-Wan joins them in their daring adventures, but the Padawan side of him keeps questioning the teen's strange relationship to the Force and to the verdant planet around them, and what all of it might mean to his future. Obi-Wan will test the limits of his relationship to the Jedi and to the Force in this exciting yet soulful exploration of one of Star Wars' most enduring heroes. I want to start off this review by addressing the controversy that has erupted over Padawan's assistance in confirming Obi-Wan Kenobi as bisexual and also potentially asexual. Personally, I am glad that Kirsten White decided to include this in her novel in order to bring about more diversity within Star Wars. As a huge Star Wars fan and a member of the LGBTQ community myself, I believe it is important that people are able to see themselves in media, and the inclusion of Obi-Wan's sexuality in Padawan is a major step towards this in a beloved series to many. Also, I must commend White for not only including this in her novel, but also making it casual in the text. Obi-Wan's sexuality is not flaunted to be shown only as a token of diversity, but is authentically shown as a part of his character. Not only is it important to have diversity in media, but it is equally essential to make it realistic, relatable, and meaningful. So, thank you, Kirsten White, for making an already loved character in the Star Wars fandom that much more important to members of the LGBTQ community. I want this place, this podcast, and my blog to always be a safe place for those who love books and love movies. And I never want anyone to feel discriminated against or like they are less than because of an important part of themselves. So I just wanted to clarify and I just wanted to announce, I guess, but just mention that this is a safe place for anyone, regardless of your race, your ethnicity, your religion, your sexuality, whatever you are accepted here. And I just wanted to make that clear, especially since this book is being so talked about, for Obi-Wan Kenobi being announced as part of the community. So I just wanted to address that before I got into the nitty-gritty of the novel. So now into the novel itself. Kirsten White does a fantastic job of taking a well-known character yet introducing new aspects while staying true to the known Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now, this novel seems to be aimed more towards middle grades or young adults, and the maturity of Obi-Wan reflects this. Taking place long before The Phantom Menace, Obi-Wan is a struggling Padawan who is at odds with his master, Qui-Gon Jinn. Though dedicated to the ways of the Jedi, Obi-Wan is seen struggling with connecting to the Force. He feels as if he's being held back by his master and is not able to go on missions with his fellow Padawans. In the Star Wars films and shows, and yes, I am not entirely finished with Obi-Wan Kenobi now. When I wrote this review earlier in the week, I had not even started it. But Obi-Wan Kenobi, the show, is, like, actually really good. And I love Ewan, or however you say his name, I apologize, Ewan McGregor. He's one of my favorite actors. And I love the series so far. And hopefully I'll be finished with it soon. I only have, like, an episode left. So we'll see. But in the Star Wars films and shows, we see an already trained Obi-Wan, one who is connected to the Force and sure in his abilities. However, though staying true to Obi-Wan's caring nature, Padawan explores the uncertainty that Obi-Wan struggles with while growing up in the Jedi Order. I really enjoyed seeing Obi-Wan struggle with connecting to the Force, since it seems in the movies that he has no problem doing so, which makes sense because of all of his experience. But his battle with his training made his character that much more deep and realistic. Too often, I feel when a new Star Wars novel comes out with a character that has been seen and discussed in the movies or shows, I feel like it's repetitive and it's not very new. It's a new piece of media, but it's not bringing anything to the table that makes me really want to read the novel. I did not have that issue with this book because, while taking Obi-Wan and staying true to that character, it also reveals more about his backstory and how he got to the place he's at when we see him in the movies, which I really, really enjoyed because, like I said, I am a huge Star Wars fan and Obi-Wan is one of my favorite characters. So I absolutely loved this one. I loved this book, and I can't wait to see Kirsten White. Hopefully they write more, because this is a really, really good book. I do have to mention that I found it funny, and just bear with me, but I'm gonna nerd out really quick, how funny it is that young Obi-Wan and Anakin are so similar, especially Anakin in Attack of the Clones. Actually, around 2810 in Attack of the Clones, Anakin complains to Padme that Obi-Wan is holding him back. And then in Padawan, how else do you say Padawan? Anyways, Obi-Wan complains through his narration that Qui-Gon is holding him back. And it is so eerily similar, but it's also funny since Obi-Wan and Anakin's relationship is like that of father-son, as Anakin says at 22 minutes in Attack of the Clones, and it was just a cute little detail that I noticed where I was like, oh, that's kind of funny, and it's also kind of sad after you watch Revenge of the Sith, but I really enjoyed the little details throughout, and I'll get more into some of those later, but I just really, really enjoyed it. And it is clear that Kirsten White did their research, so I appreciate that. I think it is worth mentioning that as long as you have seen the prequels, you should have no problem understanding the events of this novel. It's not necessarily connected to any of the events in the story. There's kind of little Easter eggs throughout, but it's not like, as long as you know who Obi-Wan is, you should be fine. But I do think watching all the movies is a good idea first, so that way you can really grasp the full effect of this book. Because like I said, if you haven't watched Attack of the Clones, you're not going to notice those little moments, and you're not going to go, oh, that's kind of sad. It's not going to be as meaningful, and I think it just adds so much more to the book if you have watched the movies. But the story starts off at the Jedi Temple on Coruscant, where Obi-Wan is being rebellious and skipping meditation. And from there, he discovers that Orla Jirani, I don't know. I haven't read many of the Star Wars books, and I apologize for my lack of knowledge there. But essentially, he finds that Orla left the way to an unexplored planet called Lunara, and it is actually inhabited by a group of seemingly Force-sensitive kids around the same age as Obi-Wan, though there are some that are younger and are more little kid type. Sorry, that was me hitting my desk. But Kirsten White describes a rich and lively planet that is sometimes hostile to its inhabitants, yet sometimes not. As Obi-Wan navigates this new and supposedly deadly world, he also develops his connection to the Force and his strength in using it. He vows to help the people he has met on Lunara, even if his return to Coruscant reveals his expulsion from the Jedi Order. Staying true to his character, Obi-Wan wishes only to help others and bring some lightness to even the furthest corner of the galaxy. The plot itself was excellent, yet had more to do with internal struggles and evolution of the self than that of Star Wars' iconic battles and lightsaber fights. If you go into this novel expecting loads of action and battles, you might be disappointed. However, I found the exploration of Obi-Wan's doubts and fears and anxieties to be crucial to understanding his character further. There was plenty of action towards the end of the novel, but as I said, this is not an action-focused story. Obi-Wan's meddling with the mystery behind Lunara causes some issues for him and the inhabitants, which he must face if he wishes to truly help the planet and its people. There, like I said, there is some conflict, and it leads to a really impressive action sequence near the end of the novel that I thoroughly enjoyed. Also, throwing it back once more to Attack the Clones, Padawan mentions how Obi-Wan came to know Dex, which I thought was a clever Easter egg and was a detail that got me excited and happy that I was reading this book. Like I said, the little Easter eggs that point towards the prequels and the rest of the movies makes it clear that White did their research, which, like I said, I really, really appreciated because it led to Obi-Wan and Padawan being such an authentic, realistic, and well-known character. It's something familiar, but it also brought new things to the table. Overall, I had a lot of fun with this novel and enjoyed its pleasant new characters and the exploration of Obi-Wan's character and background. I highly recommend it to any Star Wars fan, especially those who love Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's essentially a Star Wars coming of age, which I love, and I'm so glad I read. And that is the end of my review of Padawan by Kirsten White. I hope you enjoyed it, and if you did, please check out my blog, Maya's Reviews, at mayagreviews.wordpress.com. Like I said, also, please check out the interview room and all Dee Warner links down in the description. You can also find me at Maya the Bookworm on Twitter, Goodreads BookBub, and Book Sirens. I'm also on Tumblr at Maya Reviews, and my Letterboxd is also now linked down below with all my links. If you want me to review your book or want to come on the podcast to discuss a novel, maybe even just reach out to me, you can email me at mayagbookreviews@gmail.com. I do ask that if you are reaching out in regards to a review request, interview, collab, blog tour, or anything publicity related, that you check out my publicity request page on my blog first and then email me. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading!